of their class. Aren't you glad that we're in a church body where the kids are excited to go off to class? Some of them can hardly wait. I mean, they're chomping at the bit to get over to children's church class. Amen?
Amen.
We're going to read from Thessalonians. We are back in Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. I invite you to stand as we read in unison Scripture together, verses 9 through 12. Let's begin. Now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. And in fact, you do love all the brothers throughout Macedonia. Yet we urge you, brothers, to do so more and more. Make it your ambition to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your hands, just as we told you, so that your daily life may win the respect of outsiders, and so that you will not be dependent on anybody. And the Lord add His blessing to the reading of His Word. And I'll ask Brother Joe if he'll come and pray over the Word this morning.
Father, we come now to examine your word and to find what you have for us. Father, I just ask you to anoint Tom, that his words would be your words and that you would speak into each life. Father, we know that we all need different things, and yet you are one God, and you are our God. We ask all these things in Jesus' precious and mighty name. Amen.
Amen. If you have not yet turned in your Bibles to 1 Thessalonians 4, I invite you to do so. And also there is an outline in the bulletin that will go along with the message and the PowerPoint presentation if you find that helpful. So we are finally back in Thessalonians. We have taken a little break from that, and we are back now to the series. And Brenda, it looks like I have left the readers for the various scriptures. Would you be so kind to hand that to me? Thank you. So we are back to the series in Thessalonians. We, over the past weeks, took a little detour into the book of Corinthians, 1 Corinthians, and we looked at the spiritual gifts and the ministry of the Holy Spirit for a few weeks. And now we come back to Thessalonians. We are teaching through this book, and we have seen how the Thessalonians have been commended by Paul. We saw in chapter 1 that he says that the gospel came to them not merely in word, but it came in power. The Holy Spirit demonstrated that these were true believers in Christ because the power of God was expressed, was demonstrated. There was true repentance. There was true turning away from idols, turning away from ungodliness, turning away from that which is false, and a true turning to the living God. And we saw in several places how Paul was longing to come and visit them, but he couldn't because he was in prison. And so Paul is writing to them and to us some 2,000 years later from prison. And he does send Timothy to them, and there's a good report that he gives. There's a very good report that they are staying faithful, that they are resisting false teaching, and they are standing strong. Then the beginning of chapter 4, just to catch us up, we looked at the last time we were in here in chapter 4. He begins by giving them some instructions on how to live to please God. And he says at the beginning of the chapter, he says, he has been given authority in the Lord Jesus to instruct us how to live to please God. And one of the things he says, and we looked at it very specifically, that we are called to be sanctified, set apart in our lives to God. So God doesn't just save us and just tell us, you know, go and do the best you can. No, He saves us and calls us to follow Him, not only on our own strength, not merely on our own strength, but He gives us His Holy Spirit so that we know how to follow Him and we have the power to follow Him. And one of the things He talked about was that we, as believers in Christ, must learn to control ourselves, our bodies, so that we live in a pleasing and an honorable, fitting way of the Lord. We talked about sexual immorality and how, as believers, we are called to a life of purity, not in passionate lust like the heathen who do not know God. And we are to call to be a representation of Christ to people around us, all around us, to a watching world. And then Paul ended that section in verse 8. He said, the ones who would reject this teaching are not rejecting the teachings of Paul or of men, but they're rejecting God who gives His Holy Spirit to us. And so then we come to these verses here, and this morning I want to talk about what it means to be taught by God of how to love. Taught by God to love. There's something very attractive about a person who is loving, isn't there? Something very attractive about that person. Our dear sister, Fran Bradshaw, is not here with us this morning, but I want to use her husband, Bob Bradshaw, as an example. Many of you knew Bob before he passed and went to be with Jesus. And it didn't take long after you got to know Bob to know that he was a person just filled with love. And he was just very attractive, you know. Love makes you attractive. And I was attracted to Bob in that sense because there would be very few times that I would see him that, first of all, he would just give me a big embrace, a big hug of the Lord. And I would not leave his presence that he would make it a point. He would make it a point to say this. If I was alone, if Brenda wasn't with me, he would say, please tell Brenda that we love her and Pastor, we love you and we're praying for you and God bless you. And you know what? It wasn't just words. That man exuded love, didn't he? For those of you who knew him. Is very attractive. He's full of love. Love for his dear wife. Love for his family. Love for people. Love for believers and brothers and sisters in this church. Well, Paul says that just as the Thessalonians had the same kind of love, we as believers in Christ, we as well need to be taught by God how to love. We need to be taught by God how to love. How to love each other. How to be a loving person. And so the main point this morning is this. As God has taught the Thessalonian believers, the children of God there, He taught them how to love each other with unconditional love. So He desires us to love each other with increasing measure. With increasing measure. We read just a moment ago that Paul says, you know, on the one hand, and Paul's kind of funny, isn't he? He says, on the one hand, I don't need to write you about loving each other. But, he said, let me take this opportunity and say to you, you need to love each other more and more. You need to increase in your love. He says, you've been taught by God to love, you Thessalonian believers. You've been taught by God to love, but you need to increase and grow more and more and more. And so that it is with us as well. Maybe you have been walking with the Lord for many years. This message is for you. Because no matter where we're at with the Lord, we have to love more and more and more. Maybe you're just beginning this journey or you're somewhere in between. And the Lord desires you and me to love one another more and more. Now, some interesting words here. When he says in verse 9, he says, now, about brotherly love, we do not need to write to you. He's using a very specific word here. How many of you heard the word or the city, Philadelphia? Well, that word means brotherly love. And that's the actual word that is used here in the Scriptures. Philadelphios. He's saying, now about Philadelphios, I have no need to write you. Philadelphios means brotherly love. It means it's the kind of love that siblings have for one another. You know? Sometimes we talk about our families, you know, and siblings, they always get along, don't they? They never fight, and they never get into conflict, you know. It's funny, you can, I was in a store, yesterday I think it was, and, it was Friday, and, walk in the store and, there's a brother and sister in front of the grocery cart and a mother behind there, and the sister is, you can just see, she's just teasing the brother, just egging him on. I mean, she's picking at him. I mean, she's this little thing, you know, and her brother's about a head taller than her, and she knows how to pick at him. She knows how to push his buttons. And all of a sudden, he got aggravated with her, and he kind of, you know, moved over towards her and was like swatting at her. And she kind of flitted away, you know. You know, she knew how to get him going. And then a couple minutes went by, and the mom said, "Now stop it, both of you, stop it." So, you know, there's something about siblings that they don't get along. They don't always get along. But siblings love one another. Now, I know not always. I'm making a generalization here. Typically, siblings love one another. And even if they're having problems, you know, what do we always say? Well, she's my sister. She's my brother. You got to love them, right? And I realize that, you know, that's not always the case. There is some dysfunction. But by and large, siblings love one another. Here, this is the word he's using for us because he wants us to understand that we are siblings in Christ. We are brothers and sisters in Christ. And so, you know, the person that aggravates you here in the church? Guess what? That's your sibling in Christ. You know that person in the church that rubs you wrong? That you just kind of, you know, if they sit over here, you sit over there. You know? They're your brother or your sister in Christ. And God is calling you and me not only to this kind of love, understanding that we are brothers and sisters in Christ, and just like a family, siblings love one another, so we in Christ must love one another all the more. Then he goes on. He says, now about brotherly love, we do not need to write you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love each other. Now, he transitions and uses the word agape. Agape. That word agape, love, means an unconditional, self-sacrificing love. An unconditional, self-sacrificing love. Maybe to put it a little bit more plainly, it's I'm committed to the other person's good. I'm committed to the other person's good. Did you know that love is not a feeling? I know we have a lot of songs, you know, and I'm not going to say it, Mike. Nothing about Holy Spirit doodads. Little joke there. Love is not a feeling, even though that's what a lot of the songs write about it, you know. Love is a feeling. You know, love is that feeling that you feel when you feel like you're in love. And it's a circular definition. It's silly. Love is not a feeling. Love is an action. Love is a verb. And so to love one another with agape love, unconditional love, means I'm committed to that person in action for their good. It means to have a great concern for, giving priority to my brother and sister. And so, you know, just to use a few examples, you know, here in the church, when brothers and sisters are in need, and many of you have, out of love, have gone and you've made meals for them, or you've gone and visited, or you've written them notes of encouragement to press on in the Lord, to know that you're loved and you're not alone. Or some of you have given financially for a need. Some of you take opportunity when someone's hurting to go and to pray for them, to encourage them, to lift them up. These are beautiful expressions of the love that we are to have for one another. But then he goes on to say, we are to have this more and more. We are to increase in it more and more and more. Let us not ever think that, well, you know, we're doing pretty good. We don't have to do any more. Oh, no. Oh, no. He says, I pray that you will do this more and more. He desires us to love each other in increasing measure. So we're going to be committed to each other's good. Even, watch this, even when we fail. And we all fail, don't we? All of us fail. And so, you're committed to my good, to love me when I fail you. And I'm committed to love you. I'm committed for your good when you fail. You see, the world, when you fail, what does the world do? The world just kicks you out the door. They've got their foot around your neck. You know, they're just there quickly to condemn you, to step on you and point it out and push you down with it. That's what the world around us does, condemn you. That's what the enemy wants us to do. He uses other people at times. And listen, even well-meaning Christians that are sometimes misled can be used this way. And that's why we have to be very careful about the words, the tongue. Right? We have to be very careful about that. The enemy wants to condemn us. But the Scripture says there is, therefore, no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Romans chapter 8. There's no condemnation for us in Christ Jesus. And so, you know, we are to come alongside each other and remind each other of that. I know there's a place and there's a time for correction, even rebuke, right? Most times, we're already there. We already know that we've blown it. We failed. You know, we screwed up. We already know that. And so rather than coming with the condemnation, we need to come alongside and remind the person of God's grace and God's forgiveness, God's mercy, and that we are not condemned and that we are together. They're not alone. So that's just one element of His love. There's so many ways that love that can be expressed. 1 John 4, verses 7 through 12, kind of expresses to us what this means to God about loving each other. David Kofelt is going to read those verses for us.
Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed His love among us. He sent His one and only Son into the world that we might live through Him. This is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God, but if we love one another, God lives in us, and His love is made complete in us.
Amen. Thank you, David. God's love is made complete in us as we love one another. See, God's already dealt with the punishment part. He's already dealt with that in His Son, Christ. He sent His Son to be the atoning sacrifice for our sins. Atoning means to cover. And here's what happens. And this is just a little side note and another sermon, and I promise not to go off on this rabbit trail. But when we try to cover our sins, when we try to keep them covered, when we are not willing to admit our sins, this is whether you, before you come to Christ and even after, when you try to cover your sins, God works to uncover them. You understand that? When we try to cover our sins and fake it, you know, try to put on a show and act as if, you know, we don't have any sin, and if there's something very specific that we're trying to cover up, God works to uncover it. But the moment that we come to that place of repentance and confession and we admit this and we're willing to deal with ourselves and deal with God in His mercy, what does He do? He then covers us. When we uncover our sin, He quickly covers us. That's the beauty of God's love. And so we are to be just like God in His love. As we are interacting with each other, we come alongside each other. At times there needs to be words of exhortation, at times there be even words of rebuke. But then we're dealing with the issue of covering one another. Later in 1 John, he says, for love covers a multitude of sins. Love covers a multitude of sins. So have you received that love of God in your life? You see, it's only the love of God that comes into your life that then overflows us and spills out on everyone around us. And the more that you allow God's love to flow through you, the more you will love. Let's break it down in just a few. few minutes that we have together. Number one, then, we follow the leading of the Holy Spirit who teaches us to love with Christ's love. We follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. He said to them, you have been taught by God yourself to love. You see, the Christian religion, a relationship with Christ, is not about do's and don'ts. You see, first of all, we don't do very well with that, do we? We were talking about that, or it was on the video in the Sunday school class. What happens when you're told not to do something? You want to do it. That's our nature. We immediately want to do what we're told not to do. That is our nature. We have to recognize that, and we have to deal with ourselves. Here's what happens. When we come to Christ and we receive the Spirit into our lives, He then begins to change us so that we actually want to do what He wants us to do, what God wants us to do. It actually becomes a desire. And so we are able to follow what He wants us to do. And then the Holy Spirit actually gives you the power to say no to those things that we know are wrong. I've got to be honest with you. There are times that I want to do the wrong thing. I hope that doesn't, knock me off the pedestal that you shouldn't have me on to begin with. There are times that I want to do the wrong thing. I'm human, folks. I am sinful, just like you, though I'm saved. I am forgiven. But there is this within me, this nature, this urge that wants to do wrong. And so the Holy Spirit comes in and He begins to change that. That's why we emphasize the ministry of the Holy Spirit here so much, because it's the Spirit who works in us and changes us from the inside out. We don't naturally love like this. We're talking about this topic of love this morning. We don't naturally love like this. We are naturally self-centered. We are naturally self-focused and self-seeking, self-loving. You see this in our culture today, more and more and more. People more and more are becoming all about themselves. And, it's so evident. It used to be that, if someone was broken down on the side of the road, man, four or five people would be stopping to help them. I mean, that's what would happen. When I was a young person and didn't have a car and was trying to get around to different things, we used a mode of transportation called the thumb. You know what that means? I'm hitching a ride. Well, guess what? I would not recommend any young people do that today. It is too dangerous to do that today because people are not about helping others and protecting other people. No, they're about loving themselves, their own pleasures, and that's a dangerous thing. So don't recommend that. But the world around us is changing and changing very rapidly. We don't naturally love. Even the most naturally loving people, we do have some people that seem kind of naturally loving. But even the most loving, naturally loving people, when they come to Christ, they have to learn by the leading of the Holy Spirit how to have Christ-like love. You see, because human-centered love only goes so far. Let's just be honest. There are some people who may not even be Christians that are loving. But their love will only go so far. Listen, Christ calls us and our love to go as far as is needed. Just as His love went as far as was needed for us. You understand? You understand the calling? I mean, let's be honest, that's an impossible calling for us humans. And without the leading of the Holy Spirit, without the strength of the Holy Spirit, the power of the Holy Spirit, we can't even begin that journey. We must love like Christ loved. How about you? Are you learning by the leading of the Holy Spirit how to love? Are you taking time in your life to even listen to the Holy Spirit? Most of us, our lives are so filled with noise that there's very little time to hear anything. Some people have the electronics on every moment of the day. And they go from their iPad to their iPod, and from their iPod to their laptop, from the laptop to, the computer, desktop, I mean, just boom, 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 and there's never any time. Get in the car, what do? Turn on the radio. I get in the car, and I don't put the radio on. I use that time just to allow God to talk to me. There's not very many times that it's quiet, and there's not noise. And just allow God to speak to us, and allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you. Are you listening to Him? And that Spirit of Christ who's in you and me, and when we do that, He begins to point things out to us. Y'all buckle your seatbelts because we're going to get a little practical and up close and personal here. The way that you spoke to your wife this morning, that wasn't very loving, was it? Ooh, it got awful quiet in here. Amen. But let me be the first to confess. A couple days ago, a few days ago, Brenda and I had some, we don't fight anymore. We just have intense fellowship. We weren't fighting. And you know what? I lost my temper and acted and said things that I shouldn't say. And had to come back to her and apologize for things that I had said and the way I said it, because the Holy Spirit just began to convict me and said, you know what? That's not very Christ-like. That's not very loving. Now, even in my apologies, even that is pathetic. Self-seeking, self-justifying. I mean, anybody there with me? We try to justify ourselves, and Christ wants to change us in that. So think about that for a moment. Your husband or your wife, your children, your friends, whatever it may be. Are you acting loving towards them? And not because Pastor Tom's asking you, but because the Holy Spirit, and maybe He's using the Word this morning, and He's speaking to you, are you loving? You get in the grocery store, and you've got two or three items, and no aisle is open. There's four or five people in every aisle, and their carts are full to the brim. And so you're like, oh, man. And you start that tirade, And you get over to the self-checkout, and what happens? It messes up, and you need somebody to come help and sit. Food Lion is great for that. They have those, things, and you do one wrong thing, and the thing locks up on you. Bells and alarms go off. I mean, it's crazy. And you're looking around and seeing, and they're all tied up, they're all busy, and you're standing there like, man, I can't believe this! And you're about ready to blow your top. For what? Because you have to wait an extra 2 or 3 minutes? Or you're in traffic? Oh, I know. Talk about meddling, Joe. You're in traffic, and the person in front of you they're going 55. Like they're supposed to. And you're going 65, 70, 75, like me. And you pull up on their bumper. And instead of slowing down, what do? You lay on the horn. Get out of my way. I'm important. I got places to go and people to see. It's all about me. And the Holy Spirit is telling us, you're to be different. You're not to be like the world around you. You're to be loving. You're in the office, and someone comes up and make a snide comment about another workmate. Oh, can you see the way they're dressed this morning? Boy, don't they look terrible. What are you going to do? Going to join in with them? Laugh at their joke? Or are you going to say, you know what? I really love so-and-so. She's a great person. He's a great person. You want to see how quick someone will be disarmed with that kind of gossip and that kind of criticism? Just say that. You know what? I really like that person. I remember one time, and this is many years ago, and we're all subject to this. Listen, please understand, I'm preaching to myself. We're all critical. We all have these attitudes. And, a friend of mine, his name was Phil, he and I were talking about somebody, and this person aggravated me. it just aggravated me. And I started grousing and going off about, oh, you know, this person, they do this. And Phil looked at me, he goes, you know, he said, I really like them. And I was like, ooh, kind of shrink. But, you know, the way, and he wasn't being fake. He really did. He loved that person. And he was able, in the Christ-like love and maturity, he was able to overlook those things. And you know what? That helped me. It rebuked me in that moment. And say, you know what, Tom? You're not to be about being critical. People around us, they're quick and glad to point out your faults. And we do that all the time. And Christ is calling us to be different. So, the way that we are to love is to be led by the Spirit. I can't make you do this. You may be sitting there this morning and saying, you know, Pastor Tom, I wish you'd get done because I got things to do and I got to be out of here soon. And you could be caring less about what I'm saying here, but I can't make you do anything. The Holy Spirit is the one who's going to teach you and lead you in your life, right? That's what Jesus said, that the Holy Spirit, John chapter 14, the Holy Spirit was going to be the one who leads us and teaches us all things. So in Romans 5:5, it says, God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, whom He has given us. Well, let me ask you a question. If that's the case, why aren't we as Christians more loving? If God has poured out His love into our hearts by the Holy Spirit, then why, as Christians, are we not more loving? I'm just going to leave that with you. I'm going to leave that with you to take to the Lord and ask the Holy Spirit to explain that to you in your life, in my life, and see what He wants to do, and see what He wants to change. For time's sake, I'm going to skip down to number 2. One of the ways, and I'm just going to state this and close in prayer, one of the ways that we are to love one another, one of the ways that love is demonstrated is by leading a quiet life, minding our own business, and working productively so that we are not dependent on anyone else. I think I'm going to have to come back and preach on that all by itself. Boy, there's some powerful things right there. We're called as Christians to live a quiet life, to mind our own business, and work productively so that we are not dependent on anyone else. Wow. We are living in a world that is completely opposite of that. Completely opposite. But one of the ways that we express this love that God has put into our lives, into our hearts, is to live this way. Now, I know some of you see that and you say, quiet life, man. I'm not into a quiet life. I want life to be rowdy and raucous and it's a party. Life's a party. Well, you know what? No, it's not. Life's a battle. Life is war. And as you grow older in your life, you realize it more and more that life is war. It is a battle. It is a struggle against ourselves, against the world, and against the enemy. And there comes a time when God calls us to put aside those things. Put them aside. I remember the day in my life. I was 19. And I was going the way of the world. And the Lord was calling me to recommit myself to Him, and He was making it very clear it was time to put that stuff aside. Leave it behind. Life is not just fun and games. Life is not all about a party. Life is serious because it's a battle. And so He called me to put that stuff behind me, press on, and begin to learn what it really means to be a Christian. And that was a turning point in my life. Maybe you're here this morning and God is speaking to you about that. It's time to move on. Time to press on and put that stuff aside. So I believe the Lord has some things for each one of us today. Most importantly, that we live a life of love. Spirit-inspired, Christ-like love in our hearts for our brothers and sisters in Christ. I mean, it's hard enough to love our brothers and sisters here in this church. How in the world are we going to love people on the outside if we don't learn how to love one another? I'll close with a story. It is written of a tradition that when the Apostle John, who is a very, very ancient man, he lived, we understand, or we believe that he lived well into his 90s. And there's a story of when he came to preach at a particular congregation, and they were so excited. I mean, here, the Apostle John, he's coming to preach to our church. Can you imagine how excited? The one who walked with Jesus, the one who laid his head on Jesus' chest. The Apostle John is going to come and preach. And so the day came, Sunday came, and the Apostle John stands up and he says, "Brothers and sisters, let us love one another." And he went and sat down. And everybody said, "Oh, yeah, wow." And then they heard the Apostle John's coming back next Sunday. And so the day came, everybody gathers, and the Apostle John stands up and he says, "Brothers and sisters, let us love one another." And he sat down. And everybody said, "Oh, okay, good." They heard that he was coming one more week. So the next Sunday came and they all gathered together and the Apostle John stands up and he says, "Brothers and sisters, let us love one another." And he sat down. And isn't that exactly what the message, the whole message of 1 John is about? Because of the love he's given us through Christ, we are called to love one another. Let's pray. Father God, we confess that we as humans are so often not very loving. And Lord, we need you so desperately in our lives. We need your Holy Spirit to teach us and to empower us to love one another with the kind of love that you've given us, Lord. Lord, we confess that we have failed in many ways. But Lord, you've called us not to give up and not even to be satisfied with where we're at right now, but to press on, to increase in our love more and more. I pray for each one of us that you will continue to tenderize our hearts. Lord, that you'll continue to root out those things in our life which make us unloving. I pray, Holy Spirit, you will be speaking to each one of us in very specific and clear ways. And we commit ourselves to follow you, that you would teach us how to love with Christ's love. For we pray in his precious and his holy name. And all the people of God said, Amen.